Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Anne. Anne, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Alvarez. I am a parent coach, a school counselor, and the mother of two children, ages 25 and 15. 26. 26. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Well, welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
I think when you're going through the motions of life, but you know that you're wounded. And how do you know that? You know that by the way that you are responding to things that are happening in your life. So maybe you personalize things. I know for me, one of my things was to constantly be doing. I did not feel valued or validated as a kid. And so I was always seeking validation. And so that's why I was always like continuously learning or trying new things, or almost like to the point of being a workaholic and not really listening, doing, but not living in purpose and listening to what my needs were. So yeah, survival is just going through the motions, but knowing that you still are carrying wounds.
Absolutely. So I'm curious now, why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
Yeah, so I didn't think of myself as a survivor until I was an adult. But as a kid, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. My parents yelled a lot. There was a lot of conflict between my parents and even violence. And then my dad was abusive to me. He sexually abused me when I was 10. So that was really hard to go through that, because that's your parent And you're supposed to trust your parents. But in my gut, I knew it was wrong, but nobody told me it was wrong. So I'm going through this dysfunction, this unhealthy home, and I'm not sure. I know it doesn't feel right, but I didn't know that it was unhealthy. I didn't know that it was, this is not normal. This is not a healthy home until I was an adult. And then I understood it. So yeah, just surviving that, I just leaned into God a lot, even in as a child. That's one thing my mom did do that influenced my life a lot, was she brought us to church. And my aunt, who I was very close to, she would send me Bible verses, Bible readings. And so I found comfort in those. So I read that a lot, and then I prayed a lot, you know, to God. I actually prayed to God when I was 12. I knew I was becoming a woman, my body was changing, and I knew that if the sexual abuse continued, I would be messed up for life. I knew that. I don't know why, but I just knew that. So I had my most heartfelt prayer to God to remove my dad from our home because I knew I was going to be messed up. Is there a way, Father, that you can remove him? And then within that week, my mom announced that my dad was leaving and he was going to the Orient to work. And that was God's protection. I'm a firm believer in that because he never came back to our home. So, yeah, leaning into my faith and learning through the process what is actually healthy and what wasn't healthy. That was my journey, like my healing journey, telling my story and learning that actually was not healthy how I grew up.
And in what ways did you learn that?
I think God brought me some really incredible friends. And I went to their houses and I met their parents and I saw how their parents interacted with them and how they ate dinner together and everything was peaceful. And I was like, I want that. This is what I want. Why isn't my family like this? And so I think I just leaned into my friends. I got really amazing friends. And people in my life, mentors, honestly. So that's why, like, you can't just stay within your family. You have to branch out, right? And they helped me to understand what was healthy. That's how I learned it. In the beginning, that's how I learned it. But I did end up taking, like, a lot of psychology courses to try to figure out what happened. Why were my parents like that? And I did end up going into teaching. And learning a lot about child development and what kids need to develop healthily. Yeah.
It's so interesting because there are like two ends of the spectrum. People who kind of like bury their head like an ostrich, even though they know that they're dealing with something. And then the other end is the person who educates themselves in abundance to really understand what's going on with them and how they can change the patterns or change their narrative and move themselves forward. So, how have you taken your healing and implemented that in your career?
I will say I've always had a heart for kids. And maybe because of my childhood, it made me empathetic towards kids because I felt like I couldn't be a kid. There was a lot put on me, responsibilities. I was parentified, honestly. I didn't know the meaning of the word till I was an adult, but I was parentified. Like I was fulfilling the needs of my parents. My parents were not fulfilling my needs. And so I gravitated towards kids. I did a lot of child development type of courses, learning about kids. And because I had that heart for kids, it taught me that we need to be relational with them. We need to fill them up. I always say we need to fill up our kids' emotional bank accounts because our emotional bank accounts were not filled. As a teacher, I did actually do that. I remember I had one student that was like her hair was always in her face and she just walked in like a broken kid. And I saw myself in her. And so every day I made it a point to affirm her. Wow, that's a great drawing. Hey, you did so great on that test. You're so smart. You know, those kinds of things. Every day I filled her up as much as I could. I didn't know her story. She never disclosed anything. I could just feel it in the presence that she had. And by the end of that year, her hair was off her face and she was standing up tall like she ruled the world. And I realized the impact that we have on kids, our words, the way that we are with them. And that is what we need to take into our parenting as well, because we are in such a cherished role as parents in making impact on our kids' lives. And if you're an educator, you are in a cherished role of making impact with kids. And so if you understand that and you're intentional with your words and what your students need, you can change their lives. You know?
It's interesting you say that because I recently just had an interview with someone that I went to high school with. And it was interesting to find out that we went through similar things at similar times while we were in this high school. And after the interview, you know, I mentioned to her that there were two teachers in particular at that school that I believed saved my life. And not in a way where it was like they went out of their way to do anything for me, but they saw me and they took the time to understand what was going on with me without judgment. And for many years to at that point, I hadn't had that. I didn't have it with my parents. I didn't have it with other teachers. I was labeled as a problem child, but really I was dealing with trauma. And you know, I have long-term goals for the things that I'm doing. I don't want to just focus on this podcast, but one of the things that I want to do is really create a space to trauma inform anyone that is interacting with kids, that is interacting with people who are traumatized. When you look at people's dismissal of children's behavior, they're quick to label, which I think then perpetuates the problem. They're not helping.
I
And
agree.
I think particularly teachers, and I'm not trying to put all the weight on them. But if anyone else in a child's life sees them, it is the people who spend the most time with them. And that will be their parents and the teachers. And oftentimes, and I'm only speaking from my experience, if they aren't approving of a child, the child is essentially abandoned. And I find that it's unfortunate. You know, I personally homeschool my kids because of the trauma I experienced in the school system. I was dismissed, I was labeled, and it created a much bigger issue for me, which set me out looking for attention in all the wrong places. And I can take, I'm at a place now in my life where those things don't affect me emotionally anymore, but I never wanted to put my kids in a similar environment where they weren't seen or heard, even though I'm doing my best to force a healthy environment for them at home.
I totally understand that because you don't you want to, your parent your you want your children to have what you didn't have. And I understand that mother instinct to protect. It totally makes sense. But we also want to have kids exposed to other people, like good mentors, right? So, like, I do think it's really good to have them. I know, like, for me personally, my oldest son, he is really an outdoorsy kid. He does a lot of hiking and things like that. We were talking about this the other day, and he said, "Mom, you know why I got so into hiking?" And I said, "Well, we used to take you hiking." He goes, "Yeah, but not that much. But I used to go with my friend and his dad. And then I remember that I was a single mom, and this dad said, "Can I take your son with my son out hiking?" And he did that. He did maybe four or five or six trips with them. And so that made an impact in his life. So I do think it's good to have other people that you trust to make those kinds of impact on your kids as well, to be influenced positively by them.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just haven't been in an environment where there is a village bigger than myself or my children's daddy. I live in an environment where I don't particularly love the culture. It's a very passive aggressive culture here, and I don't I passive aggressive like my children are super assertive. Because that's something that I fostered in them. They speak their mind. They have been given the space to voice their opinions. And I know in this culture, they wouldn't be accepted as they are. And it would then create a bigger problem across the board because that protection element that is innate in me will kick in. So I think the decision to keep them out of these environments is a good one for us simply because of how I'm raising my kids. And it's interesting enough, I posted a picture of my kids on Facebook recently, and one of my teachers said, posted, I hope they're better behaved than you. Now, this is 30 years later. For them to make that comment. And I said, actually, they're being raised to be just as disruptive as their mother because well-behaved women really make history. And she just liked the comment and didn't reply back, which is fine. But, you know, again, I'm still being labeled as a misbehaved child. And that is being passed on to my kids. So I gotta do what I gotta do to protect them as long as I can.
I love that. I love that you let them have a voice, you know, because a lot of times in society we're told just behave, just shut up, just be quiet. You don't have a voice. Well, your opinion doesn't matter as a child, right? And I think we have to change that. We have to change that dialogue because it's actually not healthy and
Not at
it's
all.
not good. You're
It's
not going to have healthy relationships if you cannot speak your mind.
exactly. And then that's that, you know, really is in line with the survival identities that we tend to pick up as a result of what we've experienced, right? Like a lot of people end up being people pleasers because they learned very early on that someone didn't like how they showed up in the world. So they learn to change it to keep those around them comfortable while inside they're slowly dying because they're doing things that are in direct contradiction of who they are or what they want to do. So it's so important to be able to live in a space where we are authentic, even in a society that doesn't really allow it.
I agree. I agree 100%. We have to be authentic and true to ourselves. And I think parents need to reframe if they have a child that is strong-willed, that they're not being difficult. They're actually exhibiting leadership qualities. This is what you want to foster. You don't want to stifle that spirit. That's actually a good spirit to have. Confidence, boldness, speaking your mind. Like, don't stifle that because that is their element. And they could grow to be a prime minister, president. They could grow to be someone of great leadership qualities. So, yeah, I think we have to reframe the way we think about our strong-willed, I'm going to say strong-willed kids, but I just love strong-willed ki kids because I think those are the leaders of the world.
Absolutely. That and it's interesting that leadership isn't something that is openly accepted until you are of age. It makes people feel very uncomfortable when someone is displaying leadership capabilities at a very young age. We live in a society that expects to be comfortable 100% of the time. And it's unfortunate because it removes the human element of us. And most of us then spend another 10, 15, 20 years trying to find it again.
Exactly, because it was stifled in our childhood. Exactly. I'm with you, Leticia. I'm with you.
So what got you into coaching?
I've been working with families for over 30 years as a teacher, as a school counselor. And I realized when I was working with families that I could work with the student, I could work with my teenagers, but the most impact was with parents because my teen will still have to go home to that environment, right? So what would happen if I worked with the parents? What would happen if I helped shed some light with them and also taught them some strategies on how to communicate with their kids and, reverse some of the things that they grew up with and learn the healthy ways to be in a family? And so that's when I began that work. And then I thought, you know what? I just want to work with the parents now. I mean, I still counsel teens. I still enjoy it a lot. And if the teenager won't let me talk to their parent, then I just work with the teen. I'm like, okay, this is how you deal with it then when your mom gets mad. This is what I want you to do. Because I wish I had a Miss Alvarez tell me when I was a kid how to deal with my parents. So that's what I try to do with them, is if they are unwilling to let me talk to their parents or if their parents are not open to hearing what I have to say. It's hard, right? Like, people don't want to change. And I have a voice and I'm going to be honest and truthful. You're actually not listening to your child. Can you hear that? Or do you hear the tone? I don't want to listen to you when I hear that tone. That's how your kid feels. Like, you have to understand from your child's perspective in order to parent better. So that's kind of what I teach, and I'm very, very passionate about it. And I do model it. I have modeled it with my children. I made a lot of mistakes with my oldest. Thankfully, he's forgiven me. But, the youngest is really, really lucky. But I've learned through my parenting journey how to foster healthy with them. And that has actually grown their confidence.
One of the things that was very important for me with my relationship with my kids is to be able to own when I was wrong. I spend so much time apologizing, and not that I'm doing things wrong all the time, but a huge part of my healing journey was being able to take accountability and own my decisions, own my actions, and I want to be able to show my kids that. Like, if I can take accountability, okay, I upset you, I apologize, then it shows them that they too can take up accountability for themselves. They too can own their actions. Yeah, there often are consequences that we have to deal with in life, but that's a reality, right? Like, reward and consequence for every action or decision that we make. But it was very important to me because what I never got from one of my parents was accountability. I was dismissed, and for many, many, many years, it was a heavy weight for me.
There's something magical that happens when we are humble with our kids, when we apologize and we try to repair a relationship. It actually helps our kids. It teaches them our relationship is repairable. It gives them safety. And it allows them to be okay to make mistakes and also to apologize. Like, I notice when I do that, my kids will often apologize too. They always do. If they know that they've hurt me, then they will say, "Yeah, sorry, mom," or whatever it is. And it's because I modeled it first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that we show we're human. We're not going to be perfect. And we need to show that to our kids. I'm human. I lost it. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm sorry I yelled. You know, it's okay to make mistakes, but the most important part is the repair, the repairing of relationship. They have to learn that so that they have good relationships, you know, with all their friends and spouses to be and their own children.
And
Yeah.
then it also, outlines the importance of that, because we also know how easily trauma and patterns and narratives can be passed on from generation to generation. And if we are really committed to making the world a better place, it really starts with us and how we interact with the people that are around us, whether they're children or not. We
Yes.
tend to, in society, strip ourselves of a human experience by dismissing emotions, by avoiding the hard conversations. But really, that's where the growth is. And if,
Yes.
again, like you said, if we want our children to succeed in life, we have to model that. We have to show them what is possible. We have to show them how to process as well, right? A lot of people who come out of difficult situations have no clue on how to process their emotions. Then they get into relationships with people who can process emotions, and then it's this chaotic combination, and then they have kids, right? So now we went from one to two to maybe six, who knows, of people who don't know how to process the very things that make us human and who we are.
Yeah, I think that the words that are left unsaid in families break families. And I know that for me personally because I didn't have a voice as a kid or didn't feel like I had a voice as a kid, then in my marriages, I did not feel like I had a voice. And then I did not express when something truly hurt me or upset me. And I kept it inside. And that damages relationship because now you're holding this resentment and you didn't deal with it, you know? So now I'm learning that I can't hold on to resentment and I'm going to speak my mind. If something's upsetting me, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to say, this upset me. How do we move from here? How do we fix it? Am I wrong to be upset? What do you think? Right? Like, have the hard conversations, even with our children. We have to have the hard conversations with our children. We have to let them know if they've hurt us, just like they have to let us know if we're hurting them. That's a relationship. We tr seek to understand each other, you know, and not keep it and bottle it up inside, because bottling it up outside is going to hurt you and it'll manifest physically. You'll have anxiety, you'll have depression, you'll have something, but keeping your emotions suppressed is going to come out somehow in your life.
I agree. It always comes to the surface, and oftentimes it's in the most inconvenient times, which is why it's just so important to deal with things at the time. So,
Yeah.
Anne, I have enjoyed this conversation. Why don't you tell us how we can connect with you online?
Yeah, so we have a parenting course. It's 9 weeks long, parents. If you want to go through the healing journey and learn how to be relational with your kids, this is the course for you. I also do coaching, private coaching, and you can find me on Facebook. Masterful Parenting is my business and the program that I run. So you can find me on LinkedIn under Ann Alvarez. You can find me on YouTube at Masterful Parenting, Instagram at Masterful Parenting, and Facebook at Masterful Parenting. So I'm all over the place. Instagram, yeah. So reach out.
Yes, we will make sure that information is in the show notes. But before we wrap it all up, Anne, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
I would say If you have not begun your healing journey, you got to do it now. Do not walk around wounded because, as Yanla Van Sant says, if you don't heal the wounds of the past, you continue to bleed. You do not want to live a life where you're continually bleeding. So, parents, you have to take the first step into your healing journey, and that is to acknowledge that you had pain in your childhood.
It all starts with acknowledgement. And audience, if you've been around for a while, you know, I say the first step to accident survival mode is awareness, right? So this is, you're saying basically the same thing here, Anne. Well, thank you for your time, Anne, and audience, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.